Today's Feast of the Sacred Heart is without question my favorite feast of the year. Not only does it bring back cherished memories of family and parish devotions of years long past, it also recenters me in the kind of relationship I long to have with God. In the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius encourages us to ask God insistently and repeatedly for the grace to know Jesus intimately, so that we may love him more intensely and follow him more closely. That, in a nutshell, is what devotion to the Sacred Heart is all about. To know Jesus more intimately, so that we can love him wholeheartedly and follow him with greater awareness and determination. Prior to Vatican II, devotion to the Sacred Heart enjoyed widespread appeal in Catholic culture. In many homes, a picture of the Sacred Heart was reverently displayed in a place of honor. Throngs of Catholics would troop off to Mass on First Friday, and the whole month of June was dedicated to him. With Vatican II, however, our emphasis shifted from these pious devotions to liturgical renewal. Popular devotions like the Sacred Heart were mistakenly seen to be in competition with the liturgy and so fell into decline. At the same time, we also have to recognize that much of our earlier devotion to the Sacred Heart had grown rather saccharine and, let's face it, parts of it teetered on the brink of superstition, like our belief in the rewards promised automatically to those who fulfilled 9 consecutive First Fridays. Not long after the Vatican Council, Pope Paul VI noted with alarm the increasing abandonment of these popular devotions. He pleaded that if they were ever to breathe new life, they needed to become more biblically rooted, more liturgically appropriate, more ecumenically sensitive, and better understood within the context of their historical development. And so that's the task that falls to us who, over the years, have found this devotion to be an effective way to come and know and love the heart of Jesus. You and I need to discover new words and more meaningful images that capture the mystery of God's love made visible in Jesus. I agree with Pope Paul that our search should begin with the Bible. When I was growing up, all 800 of us school children would crowd into church to attend Mass every First Friday. I can still recall one of the hymns from those celebrations, "Heart of Jesus, Meek and Mild." Today, some of the lyrics sound somewhat clumsy, even cloying. They reflect, after all, the piety of an earlier generation. Nevertheless, I find that they still capture quite admirably the scriptural roots that Pope Paul saw as crucial to a reinvigorated spirituality of the heart of Jesus. The refrain from the hymn went like this. Although we didn't realize it at the time, that first phrase, "Sweetly we'll rest on thy Sacred Heart," comes right out of St. John's Gospel, and it provides a striking image of the kind of relationship that God wants with us. In John chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." At least, that's how the verse reads in our Catholic lectionary. I find it a rather sterile and unfeeling translation. The New Revised Standard Version translates the verse as, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." That captures a little better the affective resonance that lies hidden just beneath the simple words, but it still misses the full flavor of the original. In Greek, the phrase is eston kolpon tou patros, which translated literally means, "It is God, the only Son, who is lying on the Father's chest, who has made him known." That eye-catching image of Jesus lying on the Father's chest comes from the Semitic custom of reclining at a meal, where leaning one's head on the breast of one's neighbor would allow intimate conversation between them without being overheard. In using that image, St. John attempts to convey the deeply personal, profoundly affective relationship between Jesus and God the Father. 12 chapters later, the same remarkable image is repeated, this time at the Last Supper. John chapter 13, verse 23 reads, "One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side." But again, that's not quite an accurate translation. It is, after all, the exact same Greek phrase as above. In other words, the beloved disciple wasn't just reclining at Jesus' side. He was resting his head on Jesus' chest, close to his heart. And that, my friends, is what discipleship is all about. It's not just about proclaiming the good news and performing works of justice. As necessary as those things are, real discipleship begins with an intimate, intense friendship with Jesus. A friendship where I can imagine myself lying on his heart and disclosing to him all the things that lie hidden in my heart. That's what Jesus wants with each of us, an intimate, affective relationship where we share as one friend to another all our joys and hopes, our griefs and anxieties. Only after we've grown in that kind of friendship will Jesus be able to use us effectively to build the kingdom of God on earth, that kingdom where mercy and truth will meet, where justice and peace will kiss. Why not take a few minutes today and imagine yourself sweetly resting on his Sacred Heart? What is it that you might like to tell him about yourself, or about your family, or about these troubled times we're passing through? It's his feast today. Give him the only thing that will really make him happy. Give him the gift of your heart. May God bless you and give you health. If you'd like to listen to the hymn I mentioned from my school days, "Heart of Jesus, Meek and Mild," you can find a link to it on the written version of this homily.